Let's open our Bibles here this morning to the book of Galatians. Galatians is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. So if you find the two Corinthian books, it's the next book after that. Galatians, and we're going to go to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we will start reading at verse 16. 5:16 in Galatians. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Great. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word here this morning. Verses 16 through 18. And God's Word says this: "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, as your word is opened up, as you revealed this to your servant Paul, and we read this thousands of years later, Lord, we know that it is still your word coming from you. So, Lord, open up the truth to us. Open our eyes that we may see, and open our ears that we may hear this morning, Lord, the truth of your word. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. For Christmas of 2008, my wife Gail bought me a Garmin GPS device for my car. GPS is one of those global positioning satellite units that you put in your car that gives you direction. I secure this GPS device to my windshield. I kind of lock it in place. I plug the power cord into my 12-volt outlet, and I enter the address of where I want to go. Once I press the go button, the device tells me, a voice comes on and tells me when I am going to turn. It tells me which lane I need to get into. It not only tells me when I'm going to turn, it tells me which way to turn, left or right. It tells me how fast I am driving. And it even tells me how many more miles till I arrive at my destination. And it does all this while displaying on the screen a real-time map of exactly where I am. The device works by communicating with satellites that are orbiting the Earth somewhere out there, which in these satellites, in turn, they feed my Garmin device with all the necessary information to get me correctly to my destination. I think the technology is absolutely incredible. It's incredible how they can get all that into this little thing that plugs into and attaches to my windshield. I understand the cars today, a lot of them have that feature built right into them. However, if the device tells you to turn right and you decide to go straight, a friendly female voice from the device comes back and tells you, recalculating, which makes you, as the driver, feel like you have just performed the most ridiculous driving decision ever. That you didn't obey that device on your windshield. But the bottom line is this with that GPS device. The device does know how to get you where you need to go. Let me repeat that. The device does know how to get you where you need to go. Let's hold that thought for a second. Now we're going to kind of shift gears. We'll come back to that here in a second. Let's shift gears to our fill in the blanks in the bulletin. We're going to get to the first one here. And to fill in the first fill in the blank, I'm going to go to two different scripture verses. One in 1 Corinthians, so which is just like two books to the left from Galatians. And then we're going to go to Romans, which is just one book further than that. First, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, I'm going to read that. Then I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And then we'll fill in our first fill in the blank. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 say this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Let's remember that, and let's go to one book to the left, book of Romans, chapter 8, and I'm just going to read one verse there, and then we'll put those two verses together and fill in our first fill in the blank. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 9 says this. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Our first fill in the blank would say this. If I put both of those verses together, plus others that I just know from God's Word, our first fill in the blank would be this. The Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. Some Bibles might say lives, or some Bibles might say is in every believer. I kind of like the word dwells. I think the King James Version uses that word, dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says this when he's given his speech at Pentecost. He says that believers will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says that he will give us the counselor or the comforter to be with us forever. And that counselor is the Spirit of truth. And then in John 14, 17, the very next verse, Jesus says this, that we will know this Spirit, for he lives with us and he will be in us. The moment you received the free gift of eternal life, when you were saved, the moment you were saved, the moment that you were changed from that old creation to the new creation, you and I received the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit of God dwells within us. Now, let's get back to the GPS system for a moment. Did you know that there is another GPS system whose function is similar to the one that I have in my car? And this GPS stands for, and if you want to write this down, you can. This GPS stands for God's Providing Spirit. And that God's Providing Spirit resides in every believer. And the Spirit's function is similar to the one that I have in my car. The Spirit's function is to get you where you need to go. Not so much on a physical plane, but on a spiritual plane. The Spirit's job is to sanctify you and me, to gradually and daily mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And we talked about sanctification when we were in the sermon series on why do hardships happen to God's chosen. We have a GPS system built right into us, folks. God's Providing Spirit. Now let's get back to the book of Galatians so we can fill in our second fill in the blank here. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to spend actually the rest of our time right here in verses 16 and 17. Let me just read this. We read this earlier. Just one verse. Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Our next fill in the blank in the bulletin would be this. The command is to live by the Spirit. We are commanded to live by the Spirit. This is what we are told to do. Both the King James Version and the New American Standard Bible translation say this: walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit. And actually, my NIV says live by the Spirit. If I was to make a choice, I think I like the word walk by the Spirit a little bit better. So I might use those interchangeably here this morning: to live by the Spirit or to walk by the Spirit. The word live, or the word walk, is the Greek word peripateo, which means this. It's a present tense verb which means to walk or to live or to act or to behave. So we're supposed to act like we are in the Spirit. We're supposed to behave like we are in the Spirit. It's a daily routine. It is a lifestyle. It's not something we decide to do at some former point in our Christian walk and then we kind of set it on automatic. It doesn't work that way. It is a daily thing that we do. And let's remember that every believer has God's providing Spirit dwelling within him or her, regardless of how long that person has been a believer. Sometimes we often say that a person failed in a sinful situation, well, because he or she is a new believer. May I remind all of us that even new believers have the same resources as do us seasoned believers. And I believe in our efforts on discipling new believers that it's very important that we point this out to them, this command out to them, that we are supposed to live by the Spirit, but also point out the power behind it that's going to get us through it, and that would be the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you a question and just kind of answer this to yourself. Actually, I'm going to give you two choices. The question is this: who lives your Christian life? The question is this: who lives your Christian life? One of two possibilities: is it you, or is it the Spirit that lives within you? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Some believers think that walking by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit is as easy as, here's the cliche, letting go and letting God. We've all heard that before. I've even said it many, many times. And all the believer has to do is disengage himself or herself from life and just leave everything to the Holy Spirit. When you take that view and you put it to the extreme, it's called quietism. In other words, to live by the Spirit does not involve any effort on my part. So all human effort has been eliminated because I surrendered. I surrendered all. Let me give you an example of a person who is a quietist. Let's say a man has lost his job, and he's a Christian, he's a believer, and he tells you this: I know God is going to find a job for me. That's probably a good thing to say. But that same man goes home, he gets in his easy chair, he sits back with his drink and his snacks, and he watches Oprah Winfrey all day. He never picks up the telephone, he never goes on the internet, and he never reads the newspaper to look for a job. He's waiting for the telephone to ring or someone to come knocking at the door saying, "Hey, I have a job for you." That person is a quietist. He's fully relying on God to do everything without any human intervention whatsoever. Well, there is a major flaw with this extreme. First of all, if you totally let go and let God, then I need to ask this question. Whose fault is it when we sin? If we totally let go and let God, then whose fault is it when we sin? The quietist won't say, well, it's not my fault because I totally surrendered. But it can't be the Holy Spirit's fault because the Holy Spirit is God and He cannot tempt you or cause you to sin. That's the quietest extreme. Let's talk about the other extreme. There's another extreme to quietism, and that's called pietism. That's the holy religion of effort. A person becomes sanctified through self-discipline, through rituals, through works, and through all sorts of legalistic efforts. I gotta do. And there's a major flaw with this extreme also. Because you have the tendency of patting yourself on the back when you do good works. But may I remind all of us in here, here's something I think we already know, that the only reason a believer produces any kind of good works that are pleasing to God is because the Spirit that is residing within them is producing them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there needs to be a balance between the quietist who goes to this extreme and the pietist who goes to this extreme. And there has to be a balance between what the Holy Spirit does and the human effort involved in getting that accomplished. If it were all up to God, then we wouldn't need to be told this command, which says, live by the Spirit. Because if it was all up to God, God would do it all for us, and we wouldn't need to have to do this. On the other hand, if it was all up to us, we wouldn't need God. So there has to be a balance when we are told to live by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit. Let me read the next verse, verse 17, and we'll fill in our third fill-in-the-blank in our bulletin. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Our fill-in-the-blank would say this, there will be a conflict in our attempt to live by the Spirit. There will be a conflict when we attempt to live by the Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 says that before we became believers, we were slaves to sin. And that's bad because the wages of sin is death. Very good. The very next verse, Romans 6:18, says this, but we have been set free from sin and are now slaves to righteousness. And that's good. But listen, just because we are believers and the Bible says that we are slaves to righteousness and the fact that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit does not mean we become sinless. There is a theology that's floating around out there that teaches that a believer can achieve the point of never sinning intentionally. Now, there, I guess what they mean by that is, I guess there can be an accidental sin or a spontaneous sin, but the person never sins intentionally. And that theology is called entire sanctification. That's what they teach. A friend of mine said this about that theology of entire sanctification. If a person thinks they are entirely sanctified, just ask their spouse for their opinion. Amen. There you go. Wait a second. Why did you say that? When we become a new creation in Christ, it is at that point in time when the conflict or the battle really begins. As was said in our Sunday school class this morning, before we became believers, the devil had his hold on us. He had his way with us. And now we are slaves to righteousness, and the battle or the conflict is about to begin. The sinful nature does not go away. And trust me, sin wants to regain its position as master of your life and of my life. And it will fight relentlessly against the Spirit for control of you and for control of me. And that's why verse number 17 says this, that you do not do what you want. I know I have found myself in that position. And I hope that I'm not the only person in here who has found themselves in that position, doing what I know is the wrong thing to do. Why is it? It's because there's a conflict that goes on inside us. So then how do we get this thing right? How do we get it right? How do we live by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit? Well, let's get back to that GPS system here for a second. That GPS system in my car is telling me where to go at all times, when to turn left and when to turn right. And that GPS has a constant link with GPS satellites out there in the sky somewhere. And they communicate the path and the decisions back to that little Garmin device and all those decisions, so I can correctly arrive at my destination. Likewise, the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us, He knows our destination. And He is in constant communication with the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So the question has to be this: are we listening and being obedient to our built-in GPS system? Let me repeat those two words. We listening? Are we being obedient to our built-in GPS system? Or do we keep on making our GPS system say, recalculating? I'm going to point out two situations. And I'm going to kind of stereotype here when I do this. And I understand that. This might not apply to you, or maybe it does. I'm going to use just this as a prop. This is my TV remote control. And you're a guy. And you know you have this issue with watching things on TV that you shouldn't be watching. It is a temptation. God bless you. It is a temptation. And you know that channel has that show and that movie on there that has things that are going to be pleasing to your eyes. The lust of the flesh. And all you have to do is press that channel. And your GPS system is telling you, Mike, put the remote control down. Put it down. Watch the football game instead. But I know what's on that channel, and I know there's a lust and there's a craving. Put the remote control down, Mike. Until Mike finally does this. And then my GPS says, Recalculating. Or you just heard some real good juicy gossip about Helen Throckmorton. And I certainly hope there isn't anybody around here named Helen Throckmorton. It's just a name I made up, all right? But boy, do you got some juicy dirt on her. And you can't wait to pick up that telephone and call Sally Shiflett down the road and tell her all about Helen Throckmorton. And your GPS system says this: put the phone down, Mike. You don't need to be spreading that stuff. You shouldn't have even been listening to it to begin with. The GPS is telling you which direction to go because the GPS is getting the commands from God up in heaven, and God saying, he doesn't need to do this, she doesn't need to do this, put the telephone down. And you're thinking, God, I can't let this one go. And you dial those numbers. Sally, guess what? And you hear that little voice from inside you that says, recalculating. I certainly hope I'm not the only person in here that's ever heard that voice say, recalculating. Jesus briefly talks about this conflict just minutes before he's arrested in the garden. He tells Peter, James, and John in Mark chapter 14, 38, he says this: watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body or the flesh is weak. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew all about temptation. From the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 11, Jesus was tempted 3 times by the devil. But we also know in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. As we start this new year of 2010, I'm going to challenge all of us in here at Beech Grove Christian Church to be more attentive and to be more obedient to the directions that our GPS system is giving us. And you know when that GPS goes off. You know what your situations are in your life. You know when God's providing spirit, that spirit that's dwelling within you and within me, is telling you, don't do that. Yes, there is a battle that goes on. And I assure you that the more that we desire holiness, and the more that we desire a closer walk with the Lord, and the more that we want to walk by the Spirit, the even greater this battle may become. But the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God, because He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to continue on right here with Galatians. We're going to talk about some of the vices. We're going to talk about some of the victory. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we can do as humans, our human effort part, to try to prevent that GPS from saying that one bad word, recalculating. Let's go to God in prayer.